Welcome back, and if you're new here, get ready to stay. This is the Thrive in Life and Faith podcast, designed to help you do just that. With your hosts Lita and Remo, making space for people to share their thoughts and experiences to help you thrive in life and faith.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Life and Faith podcast. As you can hear, I am on my own today, so it's just Lita. We are doing an interview with a really, really cool guest. And so I'm really excited about the topic that we're going to do today. I'll let her introduce herself because I can't say her name without saying Auntie in front of it. Here we go. Hi, Auntie Anna Marie. How are you? Please give us an introduction.
Hi, Lita. Thank you. Thank you for having me on your podcast. Thank you for inviting me. Just on this journey that you and Remo are on, it's just amazing how God is using you guys to inspire many people. So I'm Anna Marie Buerta, and I'm in the full-time ministry. I'm serving in the Johannesburg Church, and I've been in the ministry many years, happily married to my husband, Ivor, for about, this year it's 30 years, and we have three children, so that's me.
Okay. And so I heard you say you're in the ministry and you have been for a while. What's that journey been like? What led you to Jesus and God and then ultimately into the ministry?
Yeah, it's always, I think, a privilege to tell our stories and share that with each other. So I think for me, after school, I went into the army for a year. So I was a soldier in the military for a year. And during that time, I met Karen Swart, who... we were both in the army for a year. And then after that, I studied occupational therapy at Turkish University. Mm-hmm. And then the first I walk in, here comes Karen Swart from my army days. And so we were very happy to connect in that way, that at least we had that in common. And then over the next 2-3 years, we built our friendship. We both studied occupational therapy. Mm-hmm. And then in our third year, herself and her boyfriend were baptized. They were converted by Justin Renton, who was in the military at that stage. And so they just kind of used their lunchtimes from coming out of the army, going to campus, share their faith. And then that's how they met Henry, got baptized, and Karen then. And they shared their faith with us. And so my boyfriend at that stage and I were, you know, starting to build friendship with them, studying the Bible, but then that was too much for my traditional background, so I walked away from it all. And I just kept on praying. I said, God, you've got to help me understand more. I was a Sunday school teacher.
Yeah.
Very committed, very religious, loved going to church all my life, every Sunday. So I didn't feel like I needed more of God. I felt like I already had God. But something kept on gnawing at the back of my mind. Here's more that I didn't know. So eventually when I did the word study, it was convicting to know I've never read my Bible like that. I've read my Bible regularly, but not where I could walk away with something that really changed my life. So that was kind of the start of my journey. So I was at Turkish University, third year student, and eventually in October I was baptized. So I think about the 8th woman or so in Pretoria. So I was part of the roots of the Pretoria group. So it was such a privilege. And a year later, I went into the full-time ministry. And so they sent me down to Cape Town. And I was there for about 7 months. Then I had to start leading the church with Justin Renton. So the two of us were singles leading the Cape Town church. Mm-hmm. And that started my years in the ministry. So I've been in the ministry nearly 34 years now.
Yeah. It is a while back. I didn't know you were in the army. That's a really cool thing to learn. What are some of the lessons you've learned being a disciple or following Jesus as your life has gone on? How did it change your life? Do you feel like it was worth it?
Oh, completely. I think because I came from a religious background, I never personally had a wrestle with not believing that there is a God. I think I had a very simple faith. I totally trust and believe God is there. Yeah. And so I think just learning to walk deeper with him for me was very exciting, that it wasn't just about reading my Bible. But I think, like I said, 34 years over time, there's been dry times where I just felt like I don't connect with God. Yeah. There's been challenging times in my life where it's hard to still make time to seek time with God because I'm in mourning or I'm in grief or I'm in struggle. there's sadly some clear visions I have of times when I was just in sin and I knew it and I just did not want to draw closer to God. I wanted to be able to sulk and not have to go to God, and because I knew I was guilty, but I also wanted that validated. And so I think I've gone through many different seasons. I've gone through seasons of joy. Getting married was one of the biggest ones, having the children, you know, just seeing fruit in my ministry, seeing dry time. So it's been up and down, but I don't think there's ever been a day that I regret, you know, starting this journey with God. Very grateful.
Oh, yeah, that does sound cool. 34 years in the ministry is a long time, and it seems like a really, really intense job. I'm friends with some ministers, so looking in, I'm like, yeah, it is quite like taxing and exhausting, which actually brings us to the conversation we're going to have today. And so we are going to talk about rest, which I think is a really, really important thing to talk about. But I think from your perspective, having been in the ministry for so long, I think you would be a really cool person to learn about it from. And so I guess the obvious question, how would you define rest? What is it? What have you learned about it?
Yeah, I don't actually have a dictionary definition. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's been ones in the dictionary. But I think what I've learned over time is rest is to cease working. Stop working and rest. Because I think in the beginning, I would think rest means sleep. And so I've had a good night's sleep, then I must have rested well. And I had to grow that rest is beyond sleep. Rest is doing something that could be enjoyable, but it's stop working. And a lot of my ministry training over the years was all about you're in the ministry 24/7. You've got to work all the time. You've got to be available to everybody all the time. And I've seen some negative effects of that in people's lives because nobody can work 24/7. Not even God expects that of us. But I think it was part of our training at some stage. So, yeah, I think rest for me, I would say part of the definition of rest is it's an absolute necessity. Rest is not a luxury.
And that's interesting, especially the last part, that rest is not a luxury, because I think for many of us, we kind of do view it as a luxury. And then also the expansion of like what rest is, because for a long time I thought you sleep, you get up, and then you're good to go again, and you must have rested. And so what changed that for you? What led you to believe, or have you always thought you stopped working, or has that been something you've had to learn?
I like the idea that our calendar allows 5 days of work and 2 days of weekend, where I think if I look at Jews, I mean, God said work 6 days of the week and rest one. I'm like, well, at least we get to work 5 days and rest two. I think how we use that rest day, which I don't think we're good at as humans. I'm an introvert, so I've had to come to peace over the years that I need a lot of rest in between. Because else I'll just be depleted, exhausted. I've got nothing to give to others except the legalistic I'm showing up for something, which is not quality that I'm able to give. So I think part of learning rest, I had to get to know myself. My husband, Ivor, is an extrovert. Rest in the middle of people. At a party is where he can rest, because to him that's energetic, that's refilling for him. For me, I need to be away from people in between appointments so that I can find my rest in that way. So I think it's important for all of us to get to know ourselves. But I think over time, I've seen many people burn out. People in the ministry, I've seen people who are not in the ministry. Even many of our friends over the many years, I've seen some leave the faith. Because what I think sometimes we thought would be a practical faith was overbearing for people, because we didn't teach rest. I have not heard a lot about rest until the last couple of years that I'm starting to study it out. So I think it's just not something we're comfortable with preaching and teaching. And so it doesn't become part of our theology. It doesn't become part of our lifestyle. And so, yeah, I think what necessitated it for me was over the years just seeing how people were dropping off, saying, but this doesn't make sense, or not even saying it. They just feel like they're not measuring up because we use work and performance as a measurement instead of the rhythm.
Okay. And I think you've said some really interesting things, especially the second half there about the people dropping off. And so from what you're saying, I guess you're saying part of the reason why people dropped off is the constant working and the constant like lack of rest, I guess. And so then why is that important? What does rest do for your relationship with God? How do you think it could maybe change things for people who are burning out and do feel overwhelmed?
I think looking back now, I wish I knew all of this earlier, because I think I would have had a healthy rhythm for myself. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I think how it could help us from here on. The passage that inspires me is Isaiah chapter 40 in verse 31, where it says, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Because I always thought, well, I do. I hope in God. I hope into eternity. My hope and my trust is in God. But I didn't always feel like I had a renewed strength. I felt tired, depleted, you know, or pushed. Mm-hmm. But it continues the verse. It says, they will soar on wings like eagles. And that just felt so attractive. Mm. It felt, that's what I want. I want, as I hope in God, to feel like I'm soaring and I'm on the wings of eagles. It's uplifting. It's encouraging. It says they will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Mm. So I think for me, just I had to realize that there were portions of my relationship with God that was missing or were immature, because I haven't developed to that point where I could say, wow, I'm running with God. I'm soaring with him. And I think those kind of identified only the highlights of my life. But I think the passage that probably turned a lot of it for me was Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30, where Jesus says, come all who are weary and burdened. Mm. And hearing that, knowing these times, I will identify, say, I am now. I'm just weary now. I am burdened by the responsibility. I'm burdened by my own sin. I'm burdened by the people around me. I'm burdened by the expectation of the job or burden. There's so many things, burdened by the health challenges, by family. There's so many burdensome things at different seasons of my life. But Jesus says, if I'm that burdened, come to me, you'll give me rest. And I think that's what I'm like. I'm craving that rest. And rest for me in the beginning meant, okay, so then I'll be with him and I get a lot of sleep. And I'll be refreshed so that I can get up and keep working and, you know, reaching that point of activity again. But that's not what he's saying. Because he says, I'll give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And yoke means work. So I think that was eye-opening for me to know that he's connecting work and rest in the exact same sentence. So that rest, I could be restful even while I'm working. That for me was new. Like, oh, wow. Okay, so work is not the enemy. Because I think that's what I started identifying. The reason why I can't rest is because work demands or people demands. And I kind of opposed the two to opposing each other. Instead of seeing, but Jesus connects them, rest and a yoke, which means work. You know, and that he says, I'll find rest for my soul because his yoke is easy, because his burden is light. And so redefining that my rest with Jesus is while I'm working, while I'm in a connection with him. I think that was what was significantly changing things for me.
And again, that's a really good answer. I love the scriptures you've used. They're some of my favorite as well. And so I think the connection to work and rest, and you said something about rhythms as well and developing those rhythms for yourself. And I think that those two things, or at least from how you said it, must be connected. Because if you can rest while you work, it means you've also got to develop a rhythm that allows you to do that. And so what's some of the stuff that's helped you do that? Where does one even begin to start developing a rhythm for themselves that leads to the kind of life that Jesus speaks about, where the yoke can be easy and the burden can be light, even though there will be times where you are weary and burdened?
I think it starts with seeing that we're all very different. And like I said, I'm an introvert. I'm phlegmatic. Mm-hmm. And so I have a slower pace. I need a lot of rest in between. And so to be at peace, that this is how God made me. Now, of course, there's also the excuse that I can lean to the sinful side and be selfish and lazy, which that's my conscience before God. So rest is not connected to my sinfulness. That's my choices. Like a choleric person could be very hardworking, but that doesn't mean that honors God. So I think it's getting to know ourselves, what kind of a person I am. As I get to know how God created me, taking that into my relationship with God, that my rest is in God. My rest is not from him. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many scriptures. If you just Google rest or you Google Sabbath, there's a lot of scriptures where God over and over talk about this. And so I think seeing in Genesis chapter 2 already, God rested from the work he had done. And he really doesn't need to rest. And so if he thinks it's a good idea, he's calling me into exploring that bit. So I think most of us are not comfortable with rest because we think, oh, but aren't you lazy? Aren't you selfish? Or we have a very limited idea of rest. And our idea of rest is, well, a good night's sleep or, you know, lying flat and not doing much. And we can actually be on our bed and we can be intending to sleep, but our inner person is just going wild. Our head is going off. And so we're still not restful. So I had to redefine that rest is me leaning into God. It's not me having a horizontal position and closing my eyes. Actually, at the retreat that we do, we talk about seven kinds of rest, different kinds of rest, and for us to explore that. And like we spoke earlier, what you said earlier about the rhythm of it, that Jesus had a rhythm of rest. God introduced a rhythm of rest for my protection, that he knew if he's not make this part of his expectation, I could probably just go, whether it's my character or the expectation on me from the world around me. I mean, if I think, for instance, holiday.
Yeah.
Many people don't find holiday restful at all because we pack it with a lot of activities, and either you clean out the cupboards or you do as many adventures as you can on that season, or you go visit family and you come back more exhausted. Because you were serving the family, you were having a great celebration time, but there were still dishes to be done, more dishes than normal. There were food to be cooked. You know, so I think sometimes people say, but didn't you just have a holiday?
Yeah.
And I did, but that didn't mean I rested. You know, so I think we have to define in our own lifestyle what would rest look like, because it'll be different for every one of us. But it's spending time maybe praying to the Holy Spirit, says, God, help me understand what would rest look like in my life. Because once we identify that, we can create the rhythm. And if rest means to stop working, to not engage in anything that is work, it might be very restful to go for a jog and to go for a great walk in nature. For some people, it might be very restful to hang out with one or two friends at a coffee shop and just spend hours laughing, talking, but they're resting. And so that's one aspect of rest. But I think also what is important spiritually is rest into God. And I think at times we're uncomfortable because we feel like, what do I do with 5 hours of silence? I mean, okay, I have my quiet time and I've prayed for 20 or 30 minutes a day, but what if I take out 5 hours in a day and I said, this is going to be me learning to rest into God? We're uncomfortable with silence. We're uncomfortable with not what's the next thing to do. So I think there's so many things that rob us of how do I learn rest? And it's the devices we have, the demands on us. There's so much around us that it stops us from even learning how do I rest in God. Reading my Bible is definitely one of it. Opening the scriptures, reading what it says, spending time meditating on the scriptures. But sometimes it's just in silence, being quiet enough that God can actually speak to my soul. Because of the inner person in us, our heads just go crazy that sometimes while we read our Bible or while we're praying, we've got the next thing coming up. And so I've had to learn that rest is a discipline for me and I'm not good at it. So therefore, I initially have to be legalistic about scheduling it. Because it's not natural to hours and hours and think, what am I going to do? It's not natural to think, what am I going to do with all this time without an agenda, just being with God? What if I don't hear from him? You know, what if I speak too much? You know, and so I think for me, learning rest is I had to be deliberate about scheduling rest. And part of things I find restful is being in nature. And so I'll put on my walking shoes and I'll go walk for 2 hours, eight and a half, 9 kilometers. Just, it's not exercise. It's a peaceful walk. Now, by the way, it turns out to be exercise as well, but that's not my goal. I get to see God in nature. I get to see the leaves and the birds. And as I force myself to become quiet, I think there's times I do hear God's spirit speaking to me. Not so much in a voice as much as maybe in my own thoughts, but I get to quiet to connect with him. So I think the rhythm of rest is very important. I think we see it through Jesus. And if you look at the Gospels, he's forever engaging, withdrawing, engaging, withdrawing. And there's different reasons why he withdrew. Sometimes he was the death of John the Baptist. Then he would withdraw to go and pray and spend time with God. Who are the 12 guys you want me to choose? And, you know, he'll withdraw and engage with God. And then he comes back into the community. And so I think I also had to learn that rest is not a permanent state of me pulling away, becoming a monk in a desert. It's me pulling away to connect to God so I can come back and give again. And I think as a family, for us to learn to do that more. So Ivor and I try and be more deliberate about scheduling a Sabbath time for us. And I had to learn that part of rest includes fellowship and worship. Yeah. And so it's perfectly fine to have a Sabbath, for instance, on a Sunday, because that fellowship at church, the worship is part of Sabbath, but then also making sure I've got time scheduled where it's, because I'm the introvert, away from fellowship, where I can, if I need to take a nap, if I need to just listen to a few beautiful songs on YouTube, if I just lie on the hammock and stare up at the trees, you know. It's knowing what we need and being deliberate about scheduling rest.
I love so much of what you just said. I've also felt like I've learned an insane amount. I do want to go back to a couple of stuff. I think the part about rest and leaning into God and not leaning away from God, I think that's a big game changer. I also love how you differentiated between leaning into God and leaning into sin. And the disconnects, because like you said, it can feel like you just don't want to do anything, and then you can use that as the excuse to be lazy and selfish. But actually resting is, like you said, to connect with God and to lean more into God so that you can learn from him and hear from him, and so that you can come back into the community. And then the emphasis on quiet, which is a thing I'm not good at, but the idea to remove the distractions and the voices, I think, is really helpful as well. And then you did touch on the retreats that you guys are having and the seven kinds of rest. We don't have to go through all of them, but like, what are some of the kinds of rests that they are?
I was thinking you're going to ask me about that.
Yeah.
I think that again comes into getting to know ourselves, what meets our needs for rest. Because there's physical rest where I literally just put down my computer, switch off my phone, and go lie on the bed and take a nap. That's a physical rest. But there's sometimes we need emotional rest, which means I just got to detach from everything that's been traumatizing my thoughts and my heart and things that's been stressful, and think, what would emotionally feel like rest for me? And to embrace that, there's something called creative rest. Which sometimes mean that I just need to make sure my workspace is pretty. It's creative, that maybe there's a beautiful picture of nature on my desk that I connect to that. Or maybe you've got a child and your child drew a pretty picture and you put their little drawing up there, not just on the fridge. But so a creative rest is where I either admire other people's creation if I'm not artistic, or where I spend time in restful. One of the things you get nowadays is called adult coloring books.
Yeah.
Now, we used to color in when we were very young, but it's such a relaxing activity for some people. Or to go and paint a pot, just take a pot outside and paint it different colors. And so it's called creative rest. So in that process, I stopped working. I'm enjoying what is creation or creating for me. So I think that's where it comes down to, that there's different kinds of rest. And it's worth exploring that concept, because different things at different times will fulfill us.
Okay. And again, that's really helpful. And then the other thing that I did want to ask about is that people seem unable to disconnect laziness from rest. And so then it stops them from doing enough and it limits their understanding. And at least that's what it sounds like you were explaining. So what helped you as Auntie Anna Maria? I know it'll be different for people, but what are some of the things that helped you disconnect those two ideas?
I think the Bible is quite clear about what sin is. And sin is something that eventually, if I allow it, will stir my conscience. I think sometimes we can blind ourselves. But if I open the scriptures, God loves me enough and his spirit is faithful enough to convict me of sin in my life. I think being part of a spiritual community, having other disciples in my life who knows me, who could point out sin in my life, is kind of extra guard for my own heart that others will speak up when they see it. And so it's not just trusting me. It's listening to my conscience, studying the scriptures, allowing others to speak into my life. So over time, the patterns of sin in my heart becomes very clear. And so I think it's identifying what are the sins in my heart. And laziness could be one of them. If I just don't speak about my lifestyle and my schedule and I'm always private in a corner, then nobody will know. They just assume, oh, Anna Maria is so busy. But if I'm open with my life and I talk about my life, then someone's like, oh, but that sounds like you've rested quite a lot this last few days. Is it really tough? And help me explore it might help me identify, okay. So I think laziness looks different because for a phlegmatic person, for a slower person, laziness is not necessarily an issue, it's rest. For instance, somebody who, like Ivor, is a choleric, is a go. So for him to sit for 15 minutes and not do anything will feel like laziness. But he's not lazy. He needs to learn to rest. And so I think that's helped me, is seeing what would laziness look like in my life. And again, laziness in the seasons are different. A young mother with two or three children under the age of 10, it's very hard to be lazy because your schedule and your demands don't allow me to be lazy in that time. Now that my kids are mainly out of the house, I've got one at home, it looks different, but I still have to look at my heart and saying, is this laziness? Is this why I'm not getting up? Is this why I'm not making that cup of coffee? Because I think I've learned what sin looks like in my life. And I've got to allow God, his word, and others to speak into my life. But I've not been good at learning rest. So because it's so new to me, I have to explore what does rest look like. And then at times stop and say, so am I lazy or am I needing rest? And I think through exploring it, I'll be able to answer myself better.
Yeah, that is a very helpful clarification, because I also agree that sin is clear and it does have a picture of what it looks like, but so does rest. And I think because sin and life can be so closely related, it can be easy to get the things confused. But it is just helpful to know. And then you used a couple of terms that probably need a bit of explaining. Phlegmatic, choleric. What do those words mean? And what's the difference between the two?
Right. Okay. Sorry about that. I think there's so many different personality tests and stuff out there. And one of them is whether you're sanguine, which is kind of the life of the party, the always smiley, happy people. There's the cholerics, who are generally a lot more driven and organized and ordered and strong people. There's the melancholy, which are generally very deep. They tend to be the more spiritual people because they really think deeply about stuff. They feel very deep. And then there's the phlegmatic people who are generally not much move them, kind of stable, just peace with the world, don't like conflict. So that's kind of the, you can Google those. There's many tests you can do online to figure out which one of the four I'm stronger on. So I think it's more getting to know us. There's so many other different personality tests. So I think the challenge would be for each of us to get to know ourselves and use some of those tools that are out there. Those tools are not our excuse. I think they're just part of our awareness, because if I'm aware that this is my need, then I can invite community into my heart to help me know. That's why I can never trust myself. Am I, is this not? I need help from somebody else who knows me. So,
Yeah, that is very helpful to know. I mean, the tests sound interesting as well. And then lastly, this has been a great conversation, but I think we like to give guests the last word. And so firstly, thank you for coming on and giving your time to the pod. It's been really helpful for me. And so I think it'll be helpful for other people listening as well. The last question, which we ask everyone who's come on, is like, what is one thing, I guess, in the context of the conversation, that you think can help people thrive in their life and in their faith? What would be one helpful tip you would give?
I think as I'm still learning about rest, one of the things that really challenged me is in Mark chapter 4, verse 39, where Jesus in the boat with the guys and the storm comes up and he's sleeping. and they're panicking. And he gets up eventually and he quiets the storm. And then he turns to them and he addresses their weak faith. Mm. And I thought, wow, that's what I would love to grow so much in my trust of God, grow in my relationship with Jesus, that I can go into storms resting with him. Because to me, that's still a concept that does not connect well with me, that resting in the storm. So I feel like there's so much I still need to grow in, learning from Jesus what rest in him looks like. And I think for all of us, that will probably be my input, is to say, keep on studying the word. Keep on learning how God is engaging with each one of us, because rest will look so differently. Don't just ignore it. If you're uncomfortable with it, don't just think, well, I'm comfortable with rest. I'm such a restful person that I've arrived. We've never arrived. I think there's so much we can keep on learning, either through scripture or through being in a spiritual community.
Thank you, Auntie Ada Marie. That was really helpful. It's been a lot of fun having you on. I hope you enjoy the rest of your week.
Thank you very much for having me, and we'll keep on praying for the effect that God is using you guys in so many people's lives. Thank you for what you guys are doing.
Thank you for tuning in. Make sure to like, subscribe, and follow on your chosen podcast platform as this continues to help the community grow. With a new episode dropping every few weeks, stay tuned for future insights and discussions that prayerfully continue to help you back yourself, trust God, and thrive in life and faith.